You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
University of Auckland law professor and prominent critic of globalisation, the TPPA and the CPTPP trade agreements, Jane Kelsey has raised concerns about New Zealand's trade negotiations with the UK following Brexit. The UK is currently negotiating to be part of the CPTPP, the Comprehensive Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, as well as negotiations for a bilateral free trade agreement with both New Zealand and Australia. Since taking power in 2017, the Labor government has taken a strong hand against investor state dispute settlements, or ISDS, in policy. Including ISDS in an agreement means that foreign investors can sue the government directly for massive compensation when domestic policies impact the success of their brands. Labor has stood by their policy, no more ISDS in future trade agreements, throughout their time in government. However, under the CPTPP, the ISDS mechanism is not removed. It is simply suspended for New Zealand and some partner countries, but not all. Jane Kelsey also says that domestic policy against ISDS is not enough. She says that legislation is necessary to ensure that the policy is not traded off in the negotiations with the UK to secure a trade relationship. Now, I found this quite a complicated topic, which involves a lot of legal mechanisms and acronyms. So I wanted to break down the core issues, such as the effect of the CPTPP on New Zealand and what the problems are with ISDS and how New Zealand's trade agreements with the UK could be impacted by ISDS, despite the policy against them. I began by asking Jane to explain the CPTPP and its origins in the controversial TPPA trade agreement.
To understand this animal called the CPTPP, which is actually the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, although there's not really much progressive about it in my view, we have to go back and look at something called the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA, was being negotiated for a number of years between New Zealand, the US and a number of other countries, and concluded in late 2015, was signed in 2016 with big protests down Queen Street, led by Ngāti Whātua. And so it was very controversial, not only because it gave rules that were highly preferential to big US companies, but it also tied the hands of New Zealand governments in a whole range of areas, including, importantly for COVID-19, giving the big pharmaceutical companies extra guarantees of their patents, their monopoly rights in relation to medicines, and to charge what they want, therefore, for those. As well as issues for Māori about protections of treaty rights over resources, issues around the ability to control and regulate big tech companies, and the right of foreign investors to sue the government for things the government might do in terms of laws or decisions that impact adversely on the profits of the big foreign companies. So it was very controversial. Then Trump was elected and withdrew. And the only economic argument New Zealand could have made really for benefits of being in this agreement was its theoretical access to the US market to sell more agricultural product and so on. But once the US withdrew, it was problematic. It was especially problematic for the Labor government because they had initially in the Select Committee opposed the adoption of the TPPA by New Zealand, and now they were the new government, and they came in on the tail end of negotiations amongst the countries other than the US to rescue the TPPA in what became called the CPTPP, or the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership.
So very basically, the CPTPP is the TPPA without the inclusion of the US. However, Jane Kelsey says that another core difference between the two trade agreements is that some of the most controversial elements of the TPPA have been suspended. This includes the rules for Big Pharma, which was particularly important for New Zealand, and investor-state dispute settlements, which allow foreign investors to sue agreement countries. Jane makes it clear that even though they are suspended, these elements have not been outright removed. Jane goes on to explain the most important suspended elements for New Zealand.
That included the rules for Big Pharma, and that for New Zealand was really the main change, although importantly the Labor government and New Zealand First, I have to give them credit for this, said also that they did not want the foreign investors to be able to sue the New Zealand government in these offshore tribunals, which are very pro-investor and controversial, something known as Investor State Dispute Settlement, or ISDS. And so right at the beginning of their first term in government, in coalition, Labor and New Zealand First said they will not agree to Investor State Dispute Settlement, ISDS, in future agreements. But they had a problem doing that with the CPTPP, so they got a whole lot of side letters signed between individual countries to say they wouldn't use this in relation to New Zealand. But some of the more important countries like Japan and Singapore and Canada wouldn't agree to do that. And so this policy of no ISDS has been a part of the past Labor government and now the current Labor government's policy, but it's not in legislation. So one of the concerns is it might get traded off if they want to send more milk powder to other countries that they're negotiating with. And one of the countries they're negotiating with now is the UK.
Jane believes that serious consequences could come from ISDS for New Zealand. She says that although the Labor government has ensured that any future international agreements under them will not include ISDS, it was unable to remove ISDS from the CPTPP. Jane explains why this is a problem.
Now, why should we be worried about ISDS? Basically, foreign investors who have access to these international tribunals to challenge what governments do use them in two ways. And probably the example that's best for New Zealanders to understand it is the plain packaging tobacco case. So Big Tobacco, of course, doesn't want these ugly pictures and these ugly khaki nondescript packets because they're designed to stop people smoking. And Big Tobacco said, these policies are going to take away the value of our investment, which was in their branding and so on. And so they said, okay, we're going to sue governments who adopt this, starting with the Australian government, for $1 billion for the loss of future profits because of their adoption of this measure, which is a breach of our rights under these trade and investment agreements. So one of their objectives is to get money when governments, whether it's tobacco or mining or water bottling companies or other companies that that governments want to regulate their activities. Part of it is that they want to get compensation, not just for anything that they lose, but for their lost profits into the future with interest. And that can potentially bankrupt health budgets and so on. But the more insidious thing is what we call the chilling effect, which is the threat of bringing such a case is designed to get governments to back off from regulating the activities of of big pharma or big tobacco or big tech and so on. And we saw that very vividly with the tobacco dispute. Now, it turns out that big tobacco actually lost the case against Australia on a technical basis. But it's a really good example of the kind of reason why Labor, who said, OK, we've had a hands-off approach to foreign investors and we need to start looking at how we might tighten those rules up, got really nervous about this investor-state dispute settlement mechanism being able to challenge that kind of new regulation.
I then went on to ask Jane to explain why ISDS is a problem for the Labor government right now. Jane discusses a free trade agreement currently on the table between New Zealand, Australia and the UK, and the UK's ploy to be a part of the CPTPP following Brexit.
After the CPTPP, where they couldn't really change the actual text, Labor has been quite solid in its position of not supporting ISDS. But it has a problem in its negotiations with the UK. The UK is negotiating now with Australia and New Zealand for a free trade agreement and to join the CPTPP. The UK has lots of foreign investors. The UK wants to protect the rights of its foreign investors to sue other governments if other governments regulate those investors' activities. And whilst they don't particularly care about New Zealand, they are treating these their first post-Brexit negotiations as setting the precedent for other countries that they do care about, such as the US. And so they are insisting that this agreement has ISDS. And we expect that they will take the same position in the CPTPP and not agree to a side letter saying that their investors can't use the ISDS provisions in that agreement to sue New Zealand. And so this is going to put the Labor government really in the hot seat, because if they agree to an FTA with the UK, a free trade agreement with the UK, that has the right of foreign investors to sue, that then completely undercuts the position that they've taken to date. And it means that they're prepared to sell out the sovereignty of regulating foreign investors for access of milk powder and lamb into the UK. And that is a really, really serious slippery slope.
Jane Kelsey is concerned about Labor trading off their stand against ISDS to make a better deal with the UK. She wants the government to take a clear stand on this now publicly so that the UK has no illusions about New Zealand's position on ISDS and not including them in trade agreements. That was University of Auckland Law Professor Jane Kelsey speaking on the problems with investor-state dispute settlement mechanisms under trade agreements.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.